But they were fond of me, and they respected me, and they knew, too, that I was highly useful with regard to medicines. When I look back now, and I remember this incarnation perhaps more clearly than many, I can see that I was a person of very strong mind and strong will, I think in the right sense. But the brothers sometimes resented it. However, I can see the funny side of it, too, and of course, I have met many of the brothers on this side and they also can see the errors and the mistakes. That is another thing which makes me realize how today, although there have been such changes even in religious orders and in ideas in regard to conduct and so on, there is still much room for improvement, and there is still too much stupidity. If only you could see as we can, and I do. Often I go to some of these orders, these places where people are congregated together in quietude and away from the world as such, and it seems at times, in many respects, rather a pointless way of life. I know there are many who do good work, and many who by doing what they do are achieving a great deal for themselves and for others. But there is far too much which is of no value at all. One must remember that one is put into life to serve humanity, not to take, not to withdraw, not to live selfishly, as indeed some of these people do without realizing it, simply because they are concerned too much with self. Self, do you see these incarnations in the form of picturization in the ether? You have told me a little about that. Douglas, in most cases, yes. If I want to tune into a certain period of time, I can do so, even if it has nothing to do with myself. The point is that everything that has happened of any real value, or any great event, I do not necessarily mean wars because those are best forgotten and when one ceases to think of them, they no longer exist, but if one wants to enter into a different period of time, or wishes to go back in memory, one can do so. If one can go forward in time, there is no reason to think that one cannot go back. What has happened is still there in a sense. But as time marches forward and as human beings go forward in their experience, then that which is in the background, that which is in the past, becomes less and less important, and it becomes dim. Page 39 is bad scan, not able to interpret. Chapters of Experience, page 40. Man must realize that he is many men, not one but many, and yet one and the same. It is the same spirit animating through all the various conditions of life in varying lives, bringing itself to a higher realization and understanding, and becoming a complete whole. We are all part of the one divine source of light and life, we are all part of a great plan. We only perceive a small percentage of it. We perceive just a small glimmer, but it is this glimmer that makes possible the full light in due course. When we ourselves have made it possible by our thoughts and our actions and our spiritual growth, then we become illuminated by gradual experience. I shall tell you more another time about other experiences, but there is a lot I would like to be able to tell you about this particular life which I think is of special interest. I want to tell you next time about my coming to England, to Glastonbury. Chapter 4, a 13th century visit to Glastonbury. Mickey. Breaking into our conversation, I always look forward to your visits, Auntie. Self, that is very kind of you, Mickey. Mickey, you're a case, aren't you? Self, laughing, so you say. Mickey, but you really are. I like you. Self, I am so glad somebody likes me. Mickey, everybody who really knows you likes you. Some people are stupid. I could say a lot, but I think nice. Self, I shall treasure those kind words, Mickey. Douglas, hello, my dear. I was listening to our young friend. Actually, when one says our young friend, it rather depends on what one means and understands by young. One refers to him as one's young friend because he comes back to your side of life as some sort of replica of himself on Earth. But of course he is a much, much older and wiser person. Indeed he is very adult. When we return to Earth, to some extent we are affected by Earth conditions and we assume, if only temporarily, our old self as far as we can, often for recognition and evidential purposes. But when we have been away from Earth for some time we progress and we learn a great deal, our minds become more open, and we are, in consequence, affected by all manner of thoughts and actions, conditions and environments. We become much more progressed and in many ways vastly changed from our old self as we were known on Earth. I think a lot of people are inclined to forget, even spiritualists who profess to understand this truth, that with the passing of time and new change and experience, we must alter. For instance, when people come back and communicate, endeavoring to give their evidence as best they can by drawing on past memory and experience, quite often it is an effort, and indeed sometimes an unpleasant experience because there is so much in the past that once no doubt was important but which no longer has the same meaning, and certainly is not of any great value. The only thing that really matters to us in regard to the past and to our earthly lives is the love and the affection which we have for individuals, and of course, for the better aspects of our own nature which occasionally shone out of the darkness of materialism in which we were once steeped. But there are many, many things appertaining to the old way of life which we are quite happy to forget, and occasionally in communication it is necessary to revive these material things temporarily, as evidence and proof. Sometimes when I come to you I look back on my own life and see it as a pattern, a sort of tapestry upon which one has made stitches. But the full effect can only be seen when one is over here, where one can see the whole thing with all its varying hues, all its shadows and its brighter moments. I realize only too well that one cannot have light without shade, and one could not appreciate light unless one had the darker portions to show it up in relief. If the pattern were all light, it would be of little value. You would not be able to assess it. There are certain things which happen and must happen, and without this patterning one could not evolve. Some people have in their makeup what is generally termed evil. This is not a word I am fond of, but it is a word that is operative since it depicts certain aspects of the opposite to good, which SA sense CM to me to be essential. If one were living in a perfect world in some form of life which was perfect, as far as one can understand the meaning of the term perfect, it would be, by the very nature of it, a useless, formless, nebulous sort of existence. This may shock some people, particularly those of a religious turn of mind or even those who like to consider themselves spiritually inclined. But I think if you get down to rock bottom and analyze this, you will see that it is vital to have light and shade, as in a picture. If our picture were flat, it would be of no value, it would have no highlights, no depth, no real shape or meaning. So it is with human lives. Like an artist, we are given a series of colors, the primary colors. We are given the brushes and the canvas, and then we are left to ourselves, to our own intuitions, inclinations and abilities. Everyone has an ability within themselves to overcome, to achieve, and to produce something from within their innermost self, to be creative. But the thing is to be creative with one's own soul, to be creative with one's own power, and to realize that within oneself is the possibility of tremendous achievement. Christ knew this, and I think all the great prophets and teachers must have known this, that within oneself is the great possibility of overcoming and achieving. I am absolutely certain that the true meaning of the life of Christ is to be seen in the example that he set, that the achievement that he made is what he himself realized was possible for all human life. In other words, that we are the saviors of ourselves. Self, may I interrupt, dear? Last time you promised to tell me more about that incarnation in Italy and your visit to Glastonbury.
Douglas, yes, that is true.
I'm sorry I have deviated. I came to Glastonbury and stayed for a time for two reasons. One was that IT was interested in visiting other countries. I wanted to see how the brothers were faring not only in England but elsewhere, and also I do not know if I have mentioned this, I was tremendously interested in what you would call chemistry. Was anxious to see and to find out new ways in which one might be able to cure illness, and I had heard of certain herbs and certain products which had been brought into being by the monks in Glastonbury. I understood there were other natural sources that one might draw upon for producing what in modern terminology would be called drugs. I also wanted to meet others of a like kind who were interested in astrology. I know this will sound strange, But I was concerned with so many different things. I was particularly anxious to find out more about the way of life of the people of different countries. I came to Glastonbury for various good reasons. Self, it must have been a difficult journey.
Douglas, yes and no. In comparison with the methods of travel in the world today, coming to England was in those days hazardous to say the least. But I always liked to wander and to travel. I made my way to France and Calais on foot. Walking never worried me.
Self, where was your horse?
Douglas, did not say I rode a horse on this occasion.
There were times when I did.
Rather sharply, what made you mention a horse?
Self, you said you went about on horseback a great deal.
Douglas, yes, that is true, but it rather depended on the situation.
It is not easy to explain nor easy to understand, but the point is that no one horse, unless there was plenty of opportunity for rest, could do such a journey, and it was a common thing to change horses now and again, but if I was traveling any very long distance, quite often I would walk. This may sound odd to you, but depending on the circumstances I would either walk or ride. I travelled to England and eventually stayed a year or two, as far as I can tell, in Glastonbury. This was in its early years, its formative years. I learnt a great deal from the monks in Glastonbury. Also, there was a strange form of printing there which had never been known before. In those days, as you know, manuscripts were all done by hand, but a monk had brought into being a form of printing. Not, of course, as you understand it today. But he was a scientifically minded individual and he was trying to bring into being a certain method, and it was used to some extent. I don't know if any of these manuscripts, they could hardly be called books, although they were bound, still exist. Of course, as everyone knows, Gaxton brought out the first printing press in England.
Self, can you throw any light on the Holy Grail?
Douglas, these things spring from truths, but like all truths, much is added and much is subtracted over the centuries. In fact, of course, much more is added. It is like a story that goes around. By the time you receive it back again, it is very much changed from its original. There are fundamental truths in this business of the Holy Grail, but I am afraid rather different from the story as told.
Self, so you do not think Joseph of Arimathea brought the cup of the Last Supper to Glastonbury?
Douglas, no. But there is no doubt that there were many souls in the very early formative years of the Christian religion who did travel the whole world and who set up and created groups and churches. But, of course, so much has been added and so much legend has been accepted more or less as fact. However, there were some remarkable men in those days, especially when one considers that a man's lifespan was perhaps 40 to 50 years at the outside. There were people who lived to be 80, but they were very exceptional. There was so much disease, so much illness of varying degrees. Most of it was due, of course, to the unhygienic conditions and lack of knowledge. I was tremendously interested in medicine. I studied and experimented and indeed realized that in my own way I achieved a good deal, and much that I discovered and left behind was wed for centuries and no doubt I still used in some instances.
Self, what a pity your books were lost in the fire.
Douglas, yes. Nevertheless, a lot of these remedies were memorized by the monks, and as I have told you, I traveled a great deal and many of my ideas were copied in other monasteries. Other monks who studied medicine worked on my theories and weed some of my products and so on.
Self, do you remember the name of your order?
Douglas, trying to recall this but not succeeding, Dominican came through at a later sighting.
Self, were you an abbot or prior?
Douglas, I was a brother at first but became what you would call a prior.
Self, you said you met Saint Francis. Were you a Franciscan?
Douglas, no, yet I had great sympathy for the Franciscans because they had great problems and great difficulties in their early years, and had a great deal to combat. Some of the orders were not too happy about them. Francis in his time, although beloved by his own brothers, was not altogether trusted by many of the others.
Self, he wasn't orthodox, was he?
Douglas, no, that is the point. I hate to say this,
But there is no getting away from the truth that between the different orders there was a certain amount of pettiness and jealousy. This goes back centuries, yet human nature has not changed all that much. A person may be very sincere in his beliefs and in his religion, and endeavor to follow it out to the very letter, but it does not alter the fact that the human element is there, and sometimes you get pettiness and unpleasantness when people differ in their views. Self: did you return to Italy?
Douglas: yes.
I went to Italy, to Spain, and to Germany, as is now called, and to many other countries. Self: this must have been a very interesting incarnation.
Douglas: probably it was one of my most useful and helpful ones. I always feel that in that period of time I achieved more perhaps than in any other. I can see myself clearly. It is as if, I do not compare myself to diamond, but it is as if I am like a diamond with all its different angles which constitute the whole. I think all human life is like that. Each incarnation is a facet, and we are many faceted. It is not until we have had many incarnations that we become a little more perfected. I feel we are like uncut diamonds. I see you in such a different light now. I do not mean by that you have changed, although, of course, in a sense, I have changed, but I see you not as I remember you in this present incarnation of yours, but in others. I see you much more as a complete soul. I do not know how to explain this. I know one thing, that we are obviously brought together for a very real purpose, and that we shall be together, and that we shall grow closer mentally and spiritually and become more one, while still retaining our own individuality, character, and personality. To some extent that will persist. From this side, I can see a more complete picture of our lives than ever I could before. I always want you to feel that in spite of my growth mentally and spiritually, in spite of the experiences that I have had, and may yet have, in spite of all the evolution that must take place with every human being, myself in particular in this instance, it does not separate us, but brings us closer together. The more my knowledge, the greater my realization, the more it helps you and brings us nearer to each other. Never think that I am growing away from you.
Self: it is good to know that, dear. Which are you going to tell me about next?
Douglas: I don't know. There is so much I want to tell you. But obviously I must tell it to you in my own way. I must think about it, and recapture it in memory. It is not always possible to recount something on the spur of the moment. When you say to me so and so, it is as if it breaks the trend of my thought and I have to try to think back. It is best to let me tell you as my feeling is, as my impression is, and as my memory serves me.
Jump to Chapter 5. The Spirit Life. Mickey was in a chatty mood and intrigued with my new abode.
Mickey: after the usual greeting, how are you getting on in that house, Auntie? Has the crazy woman gone?
Self: I have moved from there. I am in a bedsitter now.
Mickey: bedsitter? All in one room? No cooking facilities?
Self: oh yes, rather. I have a wee baby billing.
Mickey: gosh. Is that so? Any washing up water in there? Do you really like living in one room?
Self: it is a case of having to at present.
Mickey: concerned, you're not hard up are yet?
Self laughing: I keep going.
Mickey: you should have a nice modern flat with all the conveniences.
Self: I thought these material things didn't matter.
Mickey: they matter to a certain extent.
How one lives and the conditions under which one lives are very important.
If you've got peace of mind and quietude.
Self: I have.
Mickey: in one room?
Brightly: I see the idea. You ain't got so much housework.
Douglas: to the rescue, what is going on?
Self: Mickey has been teasing me about my bed sitting room.
Douglas: that is sufficient, isn't it?
You do not really need much more. I suppose one other room, and a kitchenette and bathroom, would be nice.
Self: perhaps that is in the future.
Douglas: over here you will not need a kitchen, neither will you need a bathroom.
Self: in fun, not a bathroom.
Douglas: no, of course not.
We are living in an environment where the whole atmosphere is so pure and fresh and clean, and the very condition of living so perfect, that we never feel dirty, never get dirty. We do not have the conditions which necessitate many of the things considered vital and necessary on Earth. Everything here is a state of mind, and after all's said and done, if you think right, then you are right. Over here you attract to yourself all sorts of things which by their very nature make life such a beautiful thing. There again, as I have often said, it is extremely difficult to explain and describe accurately so much that one wants to give. As far as I can understand the meaning of the term perfection, the conditions of life under which I exist are perfect. Here, you do not feel the need to have a bath or a shower. Of course you can if you wish. You can bathe, you can enter into a form of sports if you like. These things are a matter of whether you feel they are necessary. So much depends on the individual. A person who feels the need for certain things will, for a time over here, indulge in those things, and they will be there for that person to enjoy. This is only temporary until such time as one adjusts oneself and begins to think differently and see differently, and to realize that certain things are no longer essential. Gradually you evolve to a point where many of the things which once seemed important and necessary are no longer so. While you think it necessary to eat and to drink, or you have the desire for certain kinds of food and drink, those things will exist for you. But the vast majority of people soon begin to realize that these things are no longer necessary because the body which one inhabits is by its very nature so different. In other words, and I know this may sound odd and even contradictory, the body is as you think, nothing more or less. There are all kinds of fruits here and all sorts of vegetation. Many of the things that you consider necessary and part of life on your side do exist here. But as you advance through varying states, so these things gradually cease to be important to you, and they will cease to exist for you. Self, yet they are real. Douglas, yes, but they are only real under certain conditions. You must try to see things in this way. You are living in a world which is a thought world, a world created fundamentally by thought forces. This applies even to nature itself and many of the things which nature supplies. Indeed, one could go back, if one were able, in time itself to the creation. Anything created, anything, that is a state of consciousness, a state of realization which is solidified with man. Man has grown with the world and the world has grown with man. Surely the whole thing is a state of mind. Take away the state of mind, and man would cease to exist. It is only the consciousness and awareness of things that makes it so that man is. The whole point is that it is only because you are living in a certain vibratory condition, or rate, if you like, that you are solidified. The physical aspect of self is a solidified form in harmony with the very conditions under which you exist in the world. But fundamentally it is still a mental condition or state, and it is only one of probably millions of such conditions in space. As you rise in mental stature, mental understanding, mental appreciation, as you progress with a wider vision and a wider realization of things, so the limitations of each world in which you may exist recede, and are less important. As you go ahead, your eyes are open to newer worlds, newer conditions, newer sets of vibrations. In other words, you are what you are because of your consciousness of the things which man through countless ages has brought into being. The world in which you live today is obviously very, very different from what it was thousands and millions of years ago. For instance, you have seas now where once there was dry land, you have dry land now where once there were seas, you have vast areas which bring forth vegetation which once had no form of vegetation or life at all. There is no doubt that man himself has changed through generations from something which was totally unlike man is today, self, but the spirit was always there? Douglas, yes, the spirit was there because it is only the spirit that is life. Life and spirit are one in as much as the spirit is the fundamental part of man and the only part of him that really continues to exist. But it exists under different conditions through generations upon generations, and in different circumstances. The earth world as we know it is old, but in time itself it is young. Self, Some people think we are coming to the end of an age.
Douglas, well, life is always coming towards the end of an age and starting a new one. In a sense that is true enough. But I am not one of these people who think the Earth world is going to come to an end.
Self, I meant this order of things.
Douglas, laughing, well, I would say this disorder of things is going to change to some sort of order.
What is going to happen, and I am sure I am right in this, is that beings from other worlds, or other planets, are going to make themselves known very soon. In other words, they are going to come to such a way to Earth, that man will realize to the full the living reality of peoples on other planets.
When I think the Earth is going to change, but not until then.
The extraordinary thing is that attempts are being made by man to enter into orbit or enter into other planets, and to some extent he must and will eventually succeed. But what he does not know is that people from other spheres, other planets far, far more advanced than ours, will soon be making themselves known to mankind on Earth. And this is game to be the salvation of the Earth.
Self, I think flying saucers air heating seriously considered, and investigated scientifically, now.
Douglas, I don't profess to be able to explain the scientific aspect, but flying saucers air a reality, and these beings from other planets, not so far, in some senses, removed from, man will be recognizable as human beings. But they will be of a much higher stature and nature, of much higher experience and more highly evolved and developed.
These beings will eventually nuke themselves known, these flying saucers air only early attempts at contact.
And this business of communication with the so-called dead, such as you're coming to talk to me, will become an accepted fact, and many of the religions, net all the religious as you know religion today, will be non-existent.
In the not-so-distant future, proof and the evidence of identity will come through scientific means, in a highly scientific way in regard to communication, not only between our world and yours but also from other worlds of other beings.
Man has some shocks coming, and they are going to be very interesting and illuminating.
Sure that the world is going to be brought to the realization that for centuries upon centuries man has been living in a fool's paradise.
He has certainly been living in a very narrow, limited sense, without realizing that all the time other people in other worlds have also been living and progressing and have evolved at a greater rate.
New methods will be applied scientifically which will prove this, and this is, I think, the most important thing.
I do not think man realizes this. In fact, a lot of things are being kept quiet.
Certainly in Russia, certain scientists are already tapping these sources, and they know far more than at the moment they are allowed to say.
The scientific evidence of life on other planets is going to be revealed, perhaps within the next 5 or 10 years.
Self, your voice is wonderful today, dear, just as I remember it when you were on Earth.
Douglas, is it?
I haven't a clue.
Quite frankly, things are very variable in communication, and one has to be grateful for every opportunity.
It is very difficult for me to know how well I do come over.
Self, very well.
Don't you think so, Leslie?
Mr. Flint,
yes, marvelous.
As good as I have ever known.
Douglas, I do not know if my voice ever sounds really like it used to.
Have you played any of these tapes to people who remember me to see if they recognize me?
Self, I have played them many times to many people, but not yet to those who remember you very well.
By the way, are you going to continue about your incarnations?
Douglas, I am sorry. I should have done so today.
It is important and interesting to discuss past events on Earth, and in a way it can be a great help.
I do not want you to think that I am not anxious to do so, but there are so many other things.
I will vary my talks from time to time, I think that would be best.
I would also mention the fact that there are times when it is more conducive on account of certain conditions to talk about some things than others.
Sometimes when I come it is as if the channel is clearer for discussing certain things than it is for others.
Sometimes it is easy to go back, and sometimes it is easy to go forward.
This may sound odd, but there again, as I have often said, time is an illusion.
People assume that the past has happened, the present is happening, and the future is not yet.
But actually, of course, The future is already there in embryo, it is already beginning to move, it is already taking shape. One day I will try to explain this. What has happened and what is happening at this moment is already forming what is to happen in the near future. If only people could realize that,